Welcome, wherever you are right now, before we begin this special Christmas Eve message, I just want to welcome you to a gathering of our faith family as we literally come together from around the world to celebrate Christ. Before I share a classic Christmas song with you, a song that I'm going to want you to listen to really take the lyrics to heart, I'd like to begin by praying. Thanking the Lord that we have Him to thank and that we can spend a time together as one family with one faith and one focus, all because of the amazing grace and the unique holy gospel of our King Jesus. Would you pray with me? Lord, I do pray and ask you now to center us in this pre-Christmas celebration, that our focus be on you, our Christ and our King. Lord, I pray that each person within the sound of my voice, wherever they are, that they are now coming to bring you glory as we celebrate the ceremonial day of your coming. We know that everything we have to be thankful for is centered in you, our Creator and our Christ. So now, Lord, may this song tenderize the hearts of those who hear, and I pray that the lyrics will pave the way for their better understanding of your love and the love that you want from us. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Listen to this song, please, and then we'll come back and we're going to unpack the song with the Word of God in a way that I pray will help you to not only celebrate, but to worship Christ this Christmas.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down His sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where He lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes. The dawn of salvation beginning to break. I love Thee, Lord Jesus, O gift from above. The King of the heavens forever.
Amen. Did you hear the lyrics? Let me ask you, do you know the name of the song? away in a manger. Well, friends, I want to ask you, what did you think of as you heard that song? What came to mind? I'm asking you because that song has so grabbed me this Christmas season because of the circumstances I'm in, the circumstances that my family finds itself in. And I pray for you as well that these words will ring true, perhaps in a new way. Let me ask you, when you heard the song, what did you focus on? What jumped out at you? I'll tell you that for me, it was the first word of the song, first word in the title, away. Away in a manger. I've entitled this Christmas message, Away for Christmas. Away for Christmas. It dawned on me that Jesus the Christ was away from home for Christmas. The first day, the first true day to celebrate the coming of Christ was Christ coming here and leaving his home. Have you ever thought about that? As I find myself in Africa, I find myself thinking about it a lot. And I've brought today one verse that I've never heard connected to Christmas. And as the Lord had laid it on my heart and I've been marinating and meditating on it over the last few days, I think it might be one of the best Christmas verses in all the Bible. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. If you're not familiar, I want to encourage you to go get your Bible and let's walk through this verse together. And I pray you see where the song Away in a Manger really tells the story of the gospel and the love and the grace of Christ in a way that I pray will change each and every one of us. I know that the Lord is actively changing me, refining me through the truth and love of this Christmas season. The truth and love that I found just jumping off the page of Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Now, let me just give you a little context while you're getting there. 2 Corinthians 8 is a beautiful portrait of the Macedonians and the heart of those who are givers, true, heartfelt, joyful givers. If you're not familiar with the passage, the Macedonians, who we are told are in overwhelming poverty, much like what I've seen here in Africa. In the midst of their overwhelming poverty, they are pleading with the Apostle Paul to be allowed to give out of their poverty, to be a part of what God is doing in distributing his truth, love, mercy, and grace, the gospel. Now, to me, the Macedonians give me an inspirational look into the heart and the life of Christ. And that's exactly what we see being told in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For you know, this is the scripture. Now, this is God's word. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I would say to you that opening phrase is going to give you and me an eternal perspective on Christ and Christmas. You're going to see that there's a missional perspective on Christ and Christmas as the verse continues. And I pray that you won't leave here today without seeing and sensing the personal perspective on Christmas and Christ as the verse completes. Listen to it again. Here's God's word. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's unpack that for just a minute before we go into the missional and the personal. For you, note this, it's personal. The gospel, Christmas, Christ, he's personal. For you, you believer. Paul is speaking to the visible church. He knows that some are true Christians and some are not. He's speaking here emphatically to the true Christian. For you know it's a fact. You know that you know that you know. You, Christian, know the grace, the unmerited favor. You know the miraculous that can only come from the one true living God. For you personally know in your heart of hearts the definite article here. It's not a grace. You know the, literally in the Greek, it's a definite article. You know the unique, specific grace, that which is the fruit of Almighty God's love. You know the grace of our, notice this is a conditional phrase, not of a Lord, but our Lord. He's speaking to the true family of God. This is the eternal family of God. Is this not a groundwork for Christmas? Is this not a groundwork for celebration? For you personally know the grace of our faith family, of our bridge family, our Lord. Jesus is Lord, of our God, the living, almighty God. For you know the grace of our Lord, King Jesus. Not a Lord, not a God, but the, our Lord, Jesus, and then Christ. Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, the promised one, the one who would save all of God's genuine, gospel-cleansed, fully, faithfully believing people. Not the religious crowd. But you know, Christian, the grace of our Lord Jesus. His name is Jesus, the living God, not a good teacher, not a prophet, not anything less than Lord Jesus the Christ. For you know this eternal perspective. Now, let me just ask you, if you personally know the grace, if you know the full merit and the potential and the power and the promise of the grace of Almighty God, if you know this personally, and you know that this is not just a grace, but this is the grace of not just a God, but the only true God, and that He's your personal God, He's your personal Lord, He's the one that will guide you, protect you, feed you, lead you, He's with you all the time, Matthew 28:20. If this is you, and you know Him and His grace, you've seen Him as Lord and Christ. Do you get that? Do you see the amazing divine sandwich? Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is wrapped with Lord and Christ. He's God and Savior. When you know Him and you know His grace, let me just stop here. We're one phrase into the verse. And do you not see the very essence and the fullness and the power of why we celebrate Christmas, of who we celebrate? Christ's must. Christ's day. Friend, I want you to know that when Jesus came from heaven to a lowly manger, He came to set you free. If you're a believer, it's only because He came down from heaven. He went away from home during the very first Christmas, so that you and I might one day come home to Him in heaven. Hope happens here. This is the essence of true Christ celebrating, true Christmas celebration. I wonder if you've had an eternal perspective on the grace of Jesus the Christ, who would come out of heaven to come to you and me, that He would be away from home for Christmas. Let me tell you, that fed my soul as I sit in a hotel room here in Africa on Christmas Eve. I think I'm getting to know the grace of my God better in this unorthodox time away from my family. And I'm just telling you, I don't like it. I don't like it. I want to be with my family. And at the same time, I see that God is revealing to me a greater understanding, a deeper knowing of His grace. Because while I'm away from my family for Christmas, I've come to realize Jesus the Christ was away from home on that first Christmas. Who am I to think that I should not have the same type of challenge and struggle? The essence of Christ's likeness is to walk as Jesus walked, 1 John 2:6. Perhaps this is a time, maybe this Christmas season, you and I are to come to a better understanding and appreciation of the fact that Christmas meant, literally by definition, Jesus would be away from home for that first Christmas. Now, if you and I can embrace the fullness of this, then we're not only going to say, yes, we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to celebrate it because we're going to realize that his being away from home in a manger is what brought joy to the world. Literally, in his being away from home, he brought joy. Literally, Emmanuel, God with us. He brought the potential for joy to everyone in the world. And this perhaps is why, as I'm now coming to better understand, why Joy to the World is also a Christmas classic. I wonder if now if you might listen to it in a whole new way. Listen to this Christmas classic and enjoy it with me, perhaps with new tenderized nerve endings in your heart, as you realize he was away from home for Christmas so that he could bring joy to the world. Amen and amen.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive a King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And to heaven and nature. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy. Let sin and sorrow grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is. The world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of
joy to the world. Do you recognize, do you have that eternal perspective on Christmas and Christ? As we continue on in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, let us see the missional perspective on both Christmas and Christ. Again, it's God's word that says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he were rich, yet he became poor, that you, through his poverty. Now think about this. Though he were rich, so he was rich in heaven, literally has everything, created everything. He has everything. He's rich, meaning not that he's got $100 in his pocket or $1 million in the bank. He has everything he needs and wants. He is the creator of all things. He has it literally all. And yet he became poor So you see in this mission, one who has abundance gives up what he has and becomes poor. He becomes that which others don't want to be. He gives up everything that everybody wants to sacrificially come to a place where he can relate to and will see ultimately rescue those who would do him wrong. It's Romans 5:8. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So don't anybody think that's not the case. Though he were rich, yet he became poor. He became poor. He emptied himself. He chose to leave heaven to come down to this swamp, closest thing to hell in creation, so that. Now, let's just camp out here for a second. So that. So the mission, Almighty God, the Lord, King Jesus, God himself, he leaves home to come down here. This is the mission, to save sinners. He did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He did not come for the healthy, but for the sick. You know this. The mission is that of leaving and going. He came here so that you and I could come home to him in heaven one day. Do you see this? Greg Lowry says that when you understand the Christmas story, you see that this is not a rags to riches story. No, it's a riches to rags story. That the mission is that Almighty God, Lord Christ Jesus, as an expression of his grace to show us our unmerited favor, he left everything to come down into the midst of nothing, that those of us who have nothing could one day have everything in and through him. That though he were rich, yet he became poor so that. Now, let me just stop here for a second and encourage you. When you find a so that statement in the Bible, recognize it, circle it, focus in. You see, that's an embedded commentary. That's the Lord himself giving you and me a hermeneutical magnifying glass. He's giving us his own definitions. He's telling us, I just told you this so that you'll understand what is about to follow. And what follows? The mission is that of sacrifice. That though he were rich, yet he became poor so that you, and again, personal, you, so that you, now get this, through his poverty. Now, we could spend a year on this alone. Through. The word through is huge. Through his poverty. This is the sacrificial atonement system. You get to have the blessings, the grace, all that God has to offer, all of the promises of the gospel, of being adopted into the family of God, of knowing right from wrong, of being an ambassador, of getting to be the aroma of Christ, to serve as a minister of reconciliation, to be his salt. All of this comes to you, Christian, because you know his grace, because he has given you his riches by taking on our poverty, and through his poverty, what is his poverty? Through his emptiness, through his emptying himself out, through his choice of coming to us in a stable, in a manger. Now, I want you to think about this. Contrast. For me, I'm contrasting this personally right now. The Almighty's manger and our African mission. Let me just tell you. In some ways, neither one was pretty. Wasn't pretty in the manger. King Jesus comes and he's in a barn. Let me tell you, barns, they smell like barns. The stuff that's in barns, you don't want to step in. And our King comes down in this humble way to demonstrate for you and me. He's not just going to be away from home for Christmas. He's going way down deep in the swamp to establish for you and me a standard, an example, an inspiration. These are the things that my eyes are opening up to this Christmas as I come to understand His grace better, as I understand my King and His glory and His gospel better. I realize that yet through His poverty, through the poverty of Him coming as a child in a manger surrounded by manure, a Messiah surrounded by manure, changes my perspective on what I think I deserve and what I might be willing and able to put up with in this life. When I see how my King came, and I realize that it's through His poverty that I would know His grace, that I would know His gospel, that I could know His glory. That through His poverty, not just the stable, not just how He came, but the cross He would one day go to, that He would not come and be a rock star on the stage. He would not be one that would win the applause of the world. He was not building crowds. He was doing the work of His Father. He was testifying to the truth. He was distributing and illuminating the gospel, the gospel. He was living the life that you and I are called to live. Through His poverty, through His going to the cross, now all of a sudden, the idea of Luke 14:27, where I'm told that unless I'm willing to carry my cross every day and follow Him, I can't be His disciple. Well, I realize He was away from home on that first Christmas, not because it was all about the starting line at the barn, but He came to die. Christmas is about a cross. Yes, there's a child that we celebrate, but that child is going to the cross. That's crucified Creator Christ. And I realized, oh wow, through his poverty, I have an example here set for me. It's not just the eternal perspective of Christmas in Christ where I know His grace and I know that He is Lord and I know that He is Christ. But I now see here the missional perspective on Christmas. He was rich, He had it all, and He gave it up. I'm to lay down my life for my Christ. That what I have here in this world is going to stay in this world. Only His word and that which I do that has eternal dividends is going to last. I need to have His missional perspective. I need to be willing. I pray you're willing to say whatever I have in this world that might be considered rich, I'm willing to lay it down and become poor, that others might get to know the truth and the love of Christ. To celebrate Christ is to bring Christ to others, to champion Him, to say, I'm rich, not because of how much money I have and not because of what the prosperity pimps are selling people. This verse has nothing to do with a bank account or how big your house is. It's about how big your heart is and how much it's filled with Christ. That He emptied Himself out, died on a cross, drank the cup of God's wrath, that you and I might be rich. You see, His mission is to be our mission. I'm here because there are people that God sent us to reach. There are people who are in the midst of battles and blessings, and we're right smack dab in the middle of it. I want you to meet one. His name is David. David. And I share this with you now because it gives me perspective that one of the reasons why I'm away from home for Christmas is the same reason that Christ was away from home for that first Christmas. It's so that others would get to know Him. And not just for the blessing of going home for heaven one day, but for the help of doing warfare here on earth. Because as we celebrate Christ in Christmas, let me tell you, there's a very real enemy of your soul, 1 Peter 5:8. He's prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for souls to devour. There's real battle happening here, and people need help. They need to know that hope happens here, help happens here, healing happens here, and that the mission of Christmas in Christ was to help others. And if it comes at a cost, like being away from home for Christmas, so be it. To the glory of God and to the saving of souls, may we have a true, eternal, and missional perspective on Christmas and Christ. Let me share with you our brother David from Lucca. Lucca, a place that doesn't get a whole lot of attention, but God loves the people of Lucca. And he's called us to be his instrument of love and light, to be the bridge that would reach into Luca so that others would get to know Christ and celebrate Christmas. Watch this, and then we'll come back and we'll close. And I pray you see the eternal and the missional perspective on Christmas and Christ in David's testimony.
Dear brothers and sisters of Bridge Family, my name is David Bateganya. I'm a leader of Luuka. Luuka is one of the districts in Uganda, deep in a remote area. So I'm happy today that I want to share with you how Pastor Jeff's coming has changed my life. Since he came, I have been a changed person because I've learned that in life, especially Christian life, we have the vision, we must have the mission, we must have to understand these two things. So since he came, I've had a vision and I've learned how things move, especially in our Bridge family. I've known our mission, how we can move on and make disciples of disciples. Just to show an experience yesterday, I had an experience of meeting one person who was at a reception where we were putting up. But because of what I learned about inviting people to come, I managed to invite one lady who is coming from a nearby district called Lila. So this lady, fortunately, was a born again, and she accepted the teaching after watching Pastor Jeff's video, which was very touching, and it touched her. So she's a changed person also, and I've done to invite the person from the learning that I got. So I believe I've started the work of what brought Pastor Jeff to take us through how we can invite other people to join our Bridge family, to become good Christians who can make disciples of disciples. I believe this lady is going to go ahead to make disciples of disciples. Dear brothers and sisters, it's been touched to me that we need to serve others regardless of what you are. What has really touched me is the way how somebody behaves dictates how he or she looks at people. So I've changed to see that people moving from America to come and take us through Christianity. It has touched me, and I've now changed the person who is going to Luuka to make disciples of disciples, especially the seven eyes of interest, informing, impacting, making other people to know Christ. I want to let you know, dear brothers and sisters over there, that I've got a problem this afternoon as we are approaching Soroti. I've been called that my daughter has been attacked by a demonic kind of thing. So I'm leaving Soroti, leaving my brother and sisters, proceeding to Kenya. I'm going back to Luuka to see how my daughter is. So pray for me. Your prayers are welcome. God bless you. Thank you very much.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Do you see that? David is sharing simultaneously tremendous blessings and blood-curdling battles. This is the reality of what it is to have a true biblical perspective on Christmas and Christ and his coming again. And this is where I pray we'll close, is that you'll see that this is personal. Again, not just personal in that you know his grace and you know his promises, but when the word of God says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know that he was rich, but he became poor so that you and I, through his poverty, we would know his riches. That's where it's personal, friends. That's when your personal, missional, and eternal perspective of Christmas and Christ, this is where the rubber hits the road. I want to ask you, do you know that because he was away in a manger, because Christ was away from home on that first Christmas, you've been given the opportunity to be in his family, to champion his faith, to live out his focus, to take his good news, to take his word, his will, and his ways locally, regionally, and globally to all the world, that you get to be his instruments of love and light, his ambassadors, that we, church, we get to be his people because he emptied himself, that you and I might be filled with him. He came and died so we could live, that you and I might be rich. And here again, let me tell you, this has absolutely nothing to do with your worldly standard of living, has nothing to do with your bank account, the size of your house. It has everything to do with your relationship with him, our Redeemer. To be rich is to be like Christ. It is to have that presence of the Holy Spirit in you, the purposes of Almighty God guiding you, the promises of our Lord protecting you. It is to be in koinonia, supernatural, vertical, and horizontal relationship, that you get to live the miracle that comes from our Messiah on his mission, that you get to be filled with the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. You're an instrument of the Lord. He's using you. He's touching you. He's blessing you, not with the world, but with the opportunity to worship, to walk, to work, to literally do warfare as a witness to the world, and that you get to have the richness of him with you, and you get to go through this life testifying to the truth and the love of who he is and what he has done. I pray that this is who you are and it's who you want to be, that you're praying this Christmas that you'll be refined, that this will be a time where you focus not on what you get, but what you've already been given and what you in turn now can help to give away. And if it means that, like me, you're going to spend some time away from home for Christmas, as hard as that honestly is, that you're able to walk with a bounce in your step, because you realize that your king spent the first Christmas away from home. And because he was away from home for Christmas, we have a reason to celebrate Christmas. I pray that as I leave you now with one last song, that it is a song that you'll see brings all three of these songs together. Away in a manger, that's where we began. He came so that you and I can come home to him one day. Then joy to the world, the Lord has come. Again, you see, he came so we can come. And that's the last song. Come, all ye faithful. That's what we want to say. Come so that you can go. That's the whole idea. To be like Christ, you come to Christ so that you can go for Christ. In a time and a place where everybody is saying, you know, ho, 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 Merry Christmas, I want to say, go, 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 Holy Christmas. Go, go, go. Recognize that this is your privilege, that you have been made rich in Christ, that you may carry his truth and love to the world. Bring the gift of Christ and his gospel everywhere you go. And thank the Lord if you have an opportunity to be away from home this Christmas, because you might just be the most Christ-like you've ever been. Would you pray with me? Oh, Lord, I pray each one within the sound of my voice will recognize that you were away from home on that first Christmas. You demonstrated for us that there is the vision that you've given us in the Word. There is a mission that you've commissioned us with. We are with you on mission, in that it's your definitions and your standards of devotion that are to guide us, not just on the holy days of holidays and Christmas, but each and every day as we serve as your ambassadors. May we engage the lost, explain to the lovers, equip the learners, empower the leaders, and exemplify you as a lifer. And may we do it in a way that brings you glory, finding the lost and growing the found. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you so much that we can go, go, go on this, a holy Christmas Eve. Amen and amen.
Oh, come. you.